This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Maureen McKenna. She's founder of the Adobe Rose Theater, a new theater here in Santa Fe. Wendy Chapin is artistic director of the theater, and she's director of the first play. It's called Luna Gale. Sabina Dunn is the lead actress in that play. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So let's talk for a moment about the Adobe Rose Theater. What is going on, new theater in Santa Fe?
New theater in Santa Fe. Well, I wanted to put up a few plays, and I started looking for a space in which to do it, and I couldn't find anything that was quite right. And so I decided to make a space and make a commitment to the community. I think we have a real need for it. We have a lack of rentable 100 to 150 seat houses. And so I went down to the Rafina Seiler Arts District, which I think is a really exciting place to be right now. When I go out my door, I can see the giant spider and the big red man in the Owl's Poke.
Yeah,
I can see it in their parking lot. I think it's a great place to be. The space is a black box theater. We are state of the art. We have portable seats and risers so that theater can be done in all different types of configurations. Endless. And this is our first play.
So what was the motivation? Was that there wasn't a proper theater space?
A black box theater space.
Yeah.
And it's a very different experience. It's more intimate. I like socially relevant plays like Luna Gale. You should have a real experience when you go into a play like this. The design and the setup of the theater is integral to the play. And so, yeah, there wasn't the kind of space that I wanted to put shows up in. It's a little bit of New York and Santa Fe.
Nice. And Wendy, you've been directing plays for years now. For some years now.
In Santa Fe.
And so now this is a chance for you to kind of do this full time?
Yes.
Excellent. And you're also a teacher of acting.
I am. I still have my acting class, but now it's through Adobe Rose Theater, which is great. I have a pool of actors that I've been working with over the last 15 years here in Santa Fe. So I have this great pool of actors. I've been dying to put them in plays. So this theater has given me an opportunity to bring many of those actors, you know, to cast them and to use them in the plays that we have coming up. We have a season of five that we've planned, but there are rentals and other things going in. So it's just a loose structure for our season, and it will last right now through September, what we've got planned for the Adobe Rose.
And so part of your model is you can rent out the theater to other groups who need a theater for whatever they're doing, plays or otherwise.
Yeah.
That's correct. If you go to our website right now, adoberosetheater.org, you will see that after Luna Gale, we have a one-night performance of Dames of Thrones, which is the women in Shakespeare's histories. It's part of the First Folio celebration, and we're following that with a production of The Absolute Brightness of Leonard Pelkey. This is a play that had two successful off-Broadway runs. It's at the Kirk Douglas Theater in Los Angeles right now, and then it's coming to Santa Fe. So those are two rental agreements. So we'll be bringing plays in. We'll be putting up our own plays. It should be a lot of fun.
Let's talk about the first play in the season. It's called Luna Gale by Rebecca Gilman, and Sabina Dunn plays the lead actress Caroline, who's a social worker in this play. Mm-hmm. And I was reading this play last night, and I could not put it down. Mm-hmm. It was so gripping, and it just reminded me that half of the quality of a production, of a theater production, whether it be in Santa Fe or anybody else, is starting with the best possible play, and this is the best possible play. I don't know how Rebecca Gilman managed to make a drama about a social worker and her clients and her administrators so thrilling, but it really is.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, she writes... very compellingly, and she writes in a way in this particular play where the point of view keeps changing for the audience and for those watching, so you're always learning something new or getting a different look at somebody or suddenly going, oh, that's not what I thought or expected, which I think is very compelling.
Yeah. And it's tricky because we don't want to give away the play, but we want to sort of talk about the themes in this play. Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the things that makes it so powerful to me is that it's a great story. It's about some people. It's about two teenage parents who are drug users. They have a little baby. The baby gets very sick because of their negligence. A Christian mother who wants to adopt the baby away from them, and then the social workers dealing with the situation who have various alliances, allegiances, and biases that they bring to the whole situation. And so that's the story, but in the course of the drama, there's so much about America right now, about class, about the underfunding of social service agencies and things mm-hmm. like that. But it doesn't really hit you over the head with it. That's just part of the reality of the play, which many of us aren't really exposed to on a daily basis. We may see numbers in headlines, but we're not seeing what it means when you cut a budget. And this play is kind of about that.
It is about that, I think, very much. I mean, from the whole economic crisis and people losing jobs who are already on the margins in some cases and having to resort. And there was an explosion of meth addiction in the Midwest just before she wrote this play that she's looking at. And she's also looking at, everybody wants to do their best. Everybody wants to do the right thing, but resources are limited. it isn't always clear what should be done. And I think, you know, the crises that everybody is undergoing, the departments, that the kids themselves, everything is, as you say, brought to the fore and made, you know, the story. It's compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all, but you can see the underlying reasons and causes why things like this happen. Yeah.
What's it like to direct this play for you, Wendy?
Well, I adore this woman's writing, and I've read everything she's written, and there isn't a play. She writes about big social issues in a very human, compelling way. She brings it down to size. She talks about all these issues. She talks about race in some of her plays. She talks about stalking. So she always has some very big theme that's contemporary, and then she brings in these characters and their issues and what's happening to them, how they're being either victimized by a system or they aren't able to cope or whatever, but she's always very humane about these people, and that's what makes it not, you know, evil versus good or the system overcoming. The system is in crisis, and that's why I was saying earlier to you, I hope that social workers come to see this show, because it's so rare that they get represented in dramatic form. And that my master's is in art therapy, so I had a small bit of exposure during my internship to this system. Very small, 3 years, not compared to what most people are in it for. Yeah. And I found it really difficult, very difficult to negotiate the legal system, the way the system is set up, the social, the Department of Human Services. It's all, you know, bureaucratic, it's arcane, it needs to be modernized, we've got to have a better system. But also, the number of people coming into the system now are overwhelming for any agency, so it's not completely their fault.
Right.
They're in a different structure for what's actually happening in society today. So I found it very overwhelming when I was involved, and so when I read the play, I was like, man, nobody writes this.
Yeah, and what I love about it, I mean, as you just said, there's no heroes in this play, and there's no villains in this play, and you come to appreciate every single person in it, and some of them, at one point or another, you just love them during the course of the play, and you want to shake them.
It's really important. They're all struggling with, do the ends justify the means? They all want to do the best thing for the baby. They're on a collision course because they have differing points of view. And it's human. And I think we can empathize with every single character in the play at one time or another.
Now, it takes place in Iowa. How important is the Midwest to the drama, do you think?
I think it's just representative. This was written in 2011 when they were having their particular drug crisis. But I think it applies to New Mexico, to the West now, that drug crisis is mobile. It's moving. Yeah. And so especially with meth addiction, it's intense now here from what the social workers tell me here in this state. It's also as prevalent as it was in Iowa during that time.
Yeah.
So I think what meth and the addictive quality of it, the worst part is that people don't recover from meth addiction easily. It's one of the hardest addictions to overcome.
Yeah.
So the fact that the children are taken away, they may never return. So then you've got another system called the foster care system that has already been crippled by lack of funding and parents willing to take children. So it's here, too. It's everywhere now. It just is. It goes into crisis in the Midwest. It goes to the crisis in the Northwest. It goes to crisis in the West. So this is very common right now, I think.
And I also think it's very important, you know, to understand that as the funding is cut, very often it is churches that step in to help people. Somebody can't afford counseling, they go to their pastor, you know, and that this has become a very, very important component of our social services, and there are strings attached to that.
Yeah.
And so the separation of church and state, when we need these organizations so badly, mm-hmm. you know, how do you mitigate that?
I was thinking about that because there's a similar thing going on in Latin America where the evangelical church really takes the role that government and social services aren't taking, and Catholicism has taken a huge hit because evangelical Protestantism actually provides services. And we
right.
have something like that here that isn't really talked about as, I mean, what you just said, church stepping in for government.
Right. Yeah, and because, yes, that's often the only resource. But, of course, that means that, in a sense, you have to abide by the church's rules as opposed to, say, abiding by social services rules or doctrines. I mean, one of the things that I think is interesting that I discovered in doing this play and talking to some social workers was really understanding how much the legal system rules everything, and that social workers have to go out and document everything, so there's so much paperwork that after a while, because everything has to be legal and go to court. It's the court who rules on these children. It's the court who decides on these things. So the legal system, everything is sort of governed by that in a way. So they're satisfying another system that really is the one that determines who goes where. And I thought that was fascinating because it made me really understand the overburdening of just documenting everything you can. You can't do anything. You can't be proactive.
Yeah.
You can only be reactive.
And it underlines something that I've heard so many people really talk about when they work in social services. Like, there are people who, for example, work in the penitentiary, and they say, you know, I love working with felons and murderers, but the administration is really tough. You know?
Yeah.
And that we see a glimpse of that in this play.
In the play, and the reason why administrators push that is, yes, they're answerable to the state and the courts.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Talk a little bit about your character, Sabina. Your character is called Caroline. She's the social worker.
Right.
And she's very intelligent, hardworking, complex character,
yes.
who's kind of a few years away from retirement.
Right. And whose office has undergone recent crises.
Right.
And so she's sort of at a crisis point when the play starts. I mean, kind of having done 25 years, being a little burnt out in a sense, and waiting for that retirement. But at the same time, these crises have occurred. And feeling responsible for that, too. And so you see somebody who's really on the edge and makes some decisions out of that that are kind of interesting, I think, for the audience to explore. I don't want to give them
I know.
Away,
it's like I want to talk about the ethical dilemmas, but we can't because we'll ruin the play. So.
Right, exactly. So that's, and, you know, one understands why, you know, she makes the decision she does, of course, but at the same time, one also understands why, in a sense, it's not something that one should necessarily do. Right. Or that somebody only in that situation, where push has come to shove, really.
Or where her gut instincts, as she says, are so finely honed that she can go outside of... Yeah, so...
Right.
We're not going to talk anymore.
I'm sorry, we can't talk about that. But she really, you know, as much as the system is in crisis, she embodies that, in a sense. She embodies the kind of dilemma that the system has about what is happening. She's sort of the walking... example of that.
The walking wounded.
Walking wounded.
Yeah, the walking wounded.
Yeah.
But really doing a good job.
But
absolutely. I mean, and you realize that if she weren't the walking wounded, she wouldn't have gone into social work in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, the compassion is there, everything is there, but it's the frustration of the limits that you have. It's that, because so often people are talking about saving the children. The church says it through the play, that I say it in the play. Everybody wants to do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And it's all about this little baby who we don't see except maybe as a little noisemaker in a stroller. And
right.
Yeah.
The baby belong to?
Who does the baby belong to is the kind of operative question. And the baby's name is Luna Gale. And I was looking at that and I was like, Moon Hurricane.
Yeah.
Like, you know, great name for a kid. So we're talking about the play Luna Gale that opens at the Adobe Rose Theater this coming Thursday, the 21st of January, and runs through February 6th. There are performances Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30, Sundays at 3 o'clock. And as always, you can get tickets through TicketsSantaFe.org and the Lenzic box office, 988-1234. Now, you're offering a special deal for social workers.
That is correct.
And so if they call, they can just say they're a social worker. They'll get half-price tickets. And I think not only social workers should go see it, but I mean, everybody should go see it because it's a great play, and I know you guys will do a wonderful job with it. But also, if you work in the court system, you're a judge or a court reporter, or if you're a nurse or a doctor.
Or a teacher.
Or a foster parent.
Yeah. All of these people play roles in the system which we are witnessing in this play. So it's super cool. Okay. Adobe Rose Theater. So you've got five other plays coming up during the season, and the season is like the calendar year?
Right now it's through the month of September.
We haven't agreed on a political satire before the election, but we're looking for one because we do have an election coming. And
really?
I would like a political satire. I like socially relevant theater that really makes you look at where you are and think about it.
You mentioned that this was a black box theater. What does that mean in terms of this play? Are we sitting in a rectangular black box?
It's a variation on the round, but it's a triangle. So there's three banks of seating. And one of the things that we're doing, we really are looking at reduce, reuse, recycle. A theater can make a ton of waste for one show. And so instead of building the sets, we've built two large projection screens and we'll be projecting images that create the rooms. And so the triangle is really important. Wendy, do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, the triangle is in psychology. There's a triangle that most psychologists know about. That's victim, perpetrator, savior. It has that triangular shape. And so they all are related.
So we're sitting in a metaphor.
You're sitting in a metaphor. And it's off-center, the metaphor. So it's not totally centered in the room either, which gives a really kind of disorienting feeling if you've never been in a space like that. But, so it seats about 120 people.
Depending on, the configuration.
Yeah, it can go up to 150, but this show is going to be about 120. Yeah. It's really spare. It's 14 scenes. So we were really concerned that we keep the pace going because it's chaotic. The play is asking for a very chaotic, fast-paced thing. So from every direction in the triangle are coming scenery and people.
Yeah.
So there's that sense of it happening all around you all the time.
And so as your perspective changes throughout the course of the play, you may identify with one character or the other. The space is shifting also. It's
very
a beautiful piece. I'm very proud of it.
Once again, it's called Luna Gale. It opens on the 21st of January. You can also check out Adobe Rose Theater at Adobe Rose Theater, spelled in the British way, TRE.org. And I want to thank you all for being with us. Maureen McKenna, founder of the theater, artistic director Wendy Chapin, and she's also director of the play Luna Gale, in which Sabina Dunn is the lead actress. I want to thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.